Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Amen. We certainly do appreciate what the Lord did for us on Sunday night. And we know the waters were troubled and many things were accomplished. And appreciate the testimonies coming forth. And, you know, if you want to hold on to a victory, just testify. Right? Sometimes when we don't testify, then we come down off the mountain, and then doubt comes along, and you can actually lose your victory. So drive a stake down in the ground, testify. And, amen. Our God reigns.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 16. Very familiar scripture here tonight. We're going to go maybe a little different direction with it, but this is our starting point. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So obviously they'd been out there rubbing shoulders with the people, and Jesus is towards the end of his ministry. He's going to go to the cross here very soon. So the people have heard. He's preached. There's been signs and wonders. And so he's asking, who do they say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead, I guess, right? Some say you're Elijah, once again, coming back from the dead. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, he is one of the prophets. He is the prophet. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Lord, add his blessing to reading the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this midweek service. We thank you for this opportunity to praise you, to testify, to fellowship with our brothers and sisters, to hear your word go forth, to make our petitions known, to agree together in faith, and joining our lick of fire together, Lord, with each and every one to create a bonfire. We thank you for allowing us to gather here again tonight, and we pray that you'd be with those that are still traveling and those that are perhaps out with a sickness. And Lord, we just ask that your blessings be upon them and to give them strength, and those that are listening in here tonight as well, Lord. Father, as we look into your word, we pray that you'd quicken it to us, that you'd give us this evening our daily bread. As we're taught to ask for it, we're asking for it, Lord. Give us our daily bread, we pray, that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, without our daily bread, we don't know what your will is in heaven. But as you give us the portion of the word for the part of the journey that we're in, that's your will. And Lord, we ask that it would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Bless each and every one. We love you and we thank you. We give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here tonight, Possessing the Gates. Notice I didn't qualify what the gates are, and you'll see why as we move into this a little further here tonight. So in our text this evening, Our Lord Jesus, as we said, he's nearing the time that he's going to go to the cross and pay the price for redemption. And he's with his disciples, and he prophesies that he's going to build a church. And the subjects of the kingdom of his church are going to prevail over the kingdom of hell. And he tells them how he's going to build his church, and he tells them how his church is going to prevail over the gates of hell. And he teaches his disciples by demonstrating in real time what this rock is that he's going to build his church upon. He asks his disciples, who do they say that I am? Actually, just in saying that, he's the I am. So the answer is in the question. But who do they say that I am? And they answer by telling Jesus what the understanding of the people seems to be on who he is. Now, it's not a revelation. It's understanding. But people confuse understanding with revelation. But then he asks, who do you say that I am? Now, this is an object lesson. He's asking this question for a purpose. And Peter answers, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replies to him, he says, blessed art thou, Simon, the hearer, the son of Jonah, for flesh and blood, or natural and spiritual senses, you were out there talking to all these people, none of them told you this. Flesh and blood, now somebody might have actually said those words, but it's not the same as it being revealed to you. You can think that you know something, and then you can know that you know something. And that's the difference between revelation and understanding or knowledge. So he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, who happens to be right there. The Holy Spirit. So he says, the reason you know the correct answer to my question, Peter, it's because it's been revealed to you or made known to you by the eternal Spirit God. And this is what he's going to build his church on. Revelation. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the Catholic Church says the church is built upon Peter. God never built the church on a man. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. And that rock is Revelation. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That word gate is in the Greek is poule, a gate of the larger sort in the wall of either a city or a palace or a town or a temple or a prison. The gates of hell, likened to a vast prison, figuratively, the access or entrance into any state. The word prevail, to be strong to another's detriment, to prevail against, to be superior in strength, to overcome, to prevail. Why do they do that? Why do they say to prevail when they're defining prevail? Anyway. So he says to Peter, I tell you, you're a stone representing one of the many stones that I'm building my church out of. So Peter represents the believers that are going to make up the church. And Peter's revelation, calling him the Son of God, he said, who do they say I, the Son of Man, am? It's revealed to him, Son of God, that's the office that he's going to operate in over the seven church ages. And Christ is going to place each stone into that church individually. And Peter's representing that stone. He's going to build his church upon a rock, which is a rock in the scripture always represents the revealed word. Or the word revealing himself to you personally. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the word that's being revealed to you personally. And the gates of hell shall not prevent the word from being revealed to you personally. So both kingdoms have gates. And that's why we're titling it tonight, Possessing the Gates. Because both kingdoms have gates. And gates are used to either keep something in or keep something out. And it's interesting, you know, in our day, that we've had several scandals that end up with the suffix gate, you know. The name of the scandal followed by gate, you know, Watergate, Iran-Contra-gate, Billy-gate, Monica-gate, Bridge-gate, Russia-gate. Those are the devil's gates. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you think that Peter is the only one that was given the keys to the kingdom? Peter's representing the church throughout the ages. Because Peter's gone, so did we lose the keys? Did he take them to the grave with him? I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So Peter was given the keys, and Peter turned those keys on the day of Pentecost and other places, but he passed those keys on. Those keys are in the hands of the church. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We're still doing that, right? It's still true. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now think of a gate being open or closed. The word keys is from the Greek word kleis, a key, since the keeper of the keys has the power to open and to shut. The word kleis is figuratively used in the New Testament to denote power and authority of various kinds. So I give you the keys of the king. I give you power and authority. So we've been given access, brothers and sisters, to all that is in the kingdom of heaven. And these keys will open any door. And they will open and shut any gate. But the keys are only worthwhile if you have them in your hand. And you know how to use them. And you use them. So Jesus also told his disciples in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 1, John 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now we've looked at this from one standpoint. We're going to look at it from a little different standpoint here tonight. That word prepare, it means to make ready, to make necessary preparations, to get everything ready, figuratively drawn from the Oriental custom of sending on before kings on their journeys persons to level the roads and make them passable. Now, he's making the way straight and narrow, and he's also making a way for us where there was no way. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he's the Word. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So if you want the Father to reveal to you the Word, you have to come to the Word. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him. And you've seen him. So when Jesus ascended on high with his own blood, he prepared or made a way for us to ascend to a place where previously there was no way. Ever since the fall of Adam, the heavens were shut up to us, and the way back to God was shut up. And then he tells us, I'm the way. I'm the way back in. Brother Brown told us that he said, you know, we talk about Easter, what a great day that was. We talk about the birth of Christ, what a great day that was, and so on and so forth. We could point out these truly great days, but he said, but the greatest, there's very little said about. The greatest is when he ascended on high, because he punched a hole through the heavens and he blasted through. So there's gates that he was passing through, gates that we were that were keeping us out. And he's opening all these gates. First, he went down into hell and got the keys. And then he ascended into heaven, opened the gates and made the way so that we could go where he's at. In heavenly places. Then he tells us, I'm the way. So he opened every gate that hell had in our way to block us from the blessings and from our inheritance in heavenly places. Satan had all of mankind locked in a prison house of sin and a prison house of death. And nobody on the earth born under the curse of sin could open the gates of that prison. But Jesus paid the price. He descended into hell and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave from our enemy, the devil. And he unlocked the prison doors and he set the captive free. And he opened the gate called death. That's why we don't fear death tonight, friends. Satan's not in control of it. He opened the gate called death and said, I now possess this gate. And he's using that gate to bring his children home when their time is up. So he opened every gate that had barred man from the heavens. And he made a way for us to ascend into heavenly places and to take our God-given position in Christ the Word. And since that day when he ascended, friends, he then gave gifts unto men. He sent his spirit back to the earth to reign as son of God in his kingdom. And the sons and daughters of God, ever since that day, they have been on a straight and narrow road. A road that was blockaded. A road that was blocked. A road that Satan could tell us, you can't pass on this road. And he was right. But what we find, friends, along the way on this journey, are gates of hell that stand before every divine promise that has been given to us. Everything that God promised you, everything that we're supposed to possess, you'll find a gate there. A gate of hell. And the gates of hell have all been opened by the one who went before us and made the way. But as we now journey along the very same road, we must pass through each and every one of these gates, as he did. And when we get to each gate, we must keep the word, we must keep the way before us in order to pass through. That's what allows us to pass through. Satan's angels, they will stand before every divine promise and will tell us, you can't have this or you can't have that. You can't have your health. You can't have salvation. You can't have the Holy Ghost. You can't have your family, whatever it might be. But we must take the living word, friends, that's been revealed to us and place it before us when we come to those gates. And the gate will not prevail against it. So it is the revealed word placed before us that the gates of hell or the gates of our enemies cannot prevail against. Brother Branham said that revelation means more to the true believer than perhaps we realize. Friends, that's why it's so important to come to church. Because you are being given keys every time you come to church. You are being given the daily bread. You are being given a living word. And with those keys, you overcome. I'll just go out on a limb here tonight and say that those that don't go to church aren't going to grow as quickly as those that do. Because those that don't go to church aren't hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And it's equipping you to go through gates that hell cannot prevail against. So When we are in the line of duty, friends, and we've met God's requirements, in other words, we can have what we ask for, we have every right to stand at the gates of our enemies and demand unbelief step out of the way. Now, you're going to have to battle a little bit, but you have every right to tell that gatekeeper, get out of my way. We have every right to resist the devil. And we are assured if we do that, he will flee. We aren't on a picnic, we're in a battle. And we are battling to take what belongs to us, to take what has been purchased for us. And we are on our way to taking a body change. And you're gonna have something to do with that, friends. And as we journey each step of the way, we are becoming stronger as we face every trial and we hold that revealed word before us. We overcome. Every gate that you pass through, you get stronger. Amen. The will of the Father, friends, is that his word be done, his will in heaven be done on the earth. So every time we come to the gate of the enemy, we take possession of it. And the gate, even though it's the gate of the enemy, it now works for us and not against us. Just as we pointed out death, death works for us. Oh, come on, friends. We apply the key, which is the revealed word, to the gate and we bind or loose. We apply the word with simple faith. And nothing can stand in the way. As an example, just one of many that we could give. Satan tells you that, maybe before you came to the message, or maybe even you're in the message, but it hasn't broke on you yet. Satan tells you that you cannot be healed. And you accept that because that's what the church taught. But one day, it's revealed to you by the word that by his stripes you are healed. Now, friends, that has to be revealed to you. It can't just be information. It has to drop in and you have to say, you know what? That's true. Not because I think it is, but I know it is. And I know it is because it dropped in. And friends, how much of the Bible has become a new book to us and it continues to, as he unfolds his word to us, things that we've said amen to for years, then one day, all of a sudden, it's got a greater meaning to us, a deeper meaning. All of a sudden, it's ours. All of a sudden, we're looking at it a little different because it's no longer information. It's revelation. So it's revealed to you that Christ defeated sickness for you. And you now have a key to unlock the gate of hell called doubt concerning your healing. And it's a gate of hell that's been blocking your access to divine healing. And you now have a key to open the gate and move beyond it and possess your healing. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the main reasons why we come to church, is so that we can be equipped. So that God can reveal his word to us and we can be equipped. And that's why God set it up so that we have local fellowships, and because we're facing local problems, we've got local this and local that, and so God sets it up so that the word that's going forth is going to be applicable to what the people are facing. Amen? So it's been a gate of hell that's been blocking your access to divine healing, as an example. But as these things are revealed to you, now you're equipped. Now you know that it belongs to you, and you have to know that before you'll possess it. It has to go from beyond information. It has to become a key. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is revelation of the word of God, the word being revealed to you that causes you to overcome. So Jesus conquered every gate that hell raised up to block our pathway. Is that right? Satan is defeated. Our enemy is defeated. But he will stand in your way until you're equipped with the very same word. And that word will convince you that he's defeated. And his bluffing on you will no longer work. But if you don't know, you're not going to take it. And the church says. So he conquered, Jesus conquered the gate called temptation. And he told us, when you come to this gate, and you will, resist the devil at that gate, and he'll flee. Now, it's not always literally Satan himself. In fact, I'm pretty doubtful that most of us, or any of us maybe, has faced Satan himself. But we're facing other demons. We're facing ones that have been given jurisdiction, that are coming against the church. So a devil will try to talk you into paying for passage at each gate. But friends, you need to hold out the token as evidence that the price has already been paid. Nothing else has to be paid. The devil will try to point to your past and say, you can't come through this gate because look at this or that. And you just got to tell the devil, you know what? That's gone. What are you talking about? That has nothing to do with it. I'm coming through, devil. He will question your identity. He will ask to see your papers. He will tell you that you don't have what it takes to pass through that gate. But it's up to you now, friends, to face that devil down and tell him, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I claim my healing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I claim my family. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I claim my salvation. Our spiritual father, Abraham, he was given a promise that he would be the father of many nations. And we saw that he went through many, many trials of his faith. His faith in that divinely revealed promise. He was on a journey to a promised land, and he was also then to become the father of many nations. And we see that he faced many obstacles along the way. And God had given him a promise, but then he let many years pass to the point that it actually was physically impossible for either himself or Sarah to bring forth the promised son. But then one day, Elohim visited Abraham according to the time of the promise and turned their bodies young once again so that they could produce an heir. We're very familiar with that. But look how much time passed, and look at all the trials that Abraham went through before this took place. Abraham held on to the promise every step of the way and was tested and tried every step of the way. You know, you can kind of think of it this way here tonight, friends. We've been promised a body change. You've got to believe that at the beginning of your journey. And you've got to hold on to it. And you will be tested and you will be tried. And you will face this doubt, that doubt, this opposition, that opposition. But one day, he will visit you according to the time of life. And you will be changed. There's our shadow. This is reality. So one day, Sarah conceived and brought forth a son, and they called him Isaac. So imagine the jubilee that was in the lands of Abraham right about this time. Finally, there's evidence that the promised word has been made flesh. The scoffer's challenge has been met. But the fullness of the promise has not yet come into being. He has an heir through Sarah. But what about father of many nations? He's just got one son. Where's all the nations? So one day the Lord tells Abraham, take this heir to the top of the hill and offer him as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Abraham is going through his final trial before possessing the final gate of his enemies. I imagine he didn't tell Sarah what he was up to. But we do know that he didn't doubt the promise, even when he was asked to kill the only evidence that he had that God's word was coming to pass in his life. So he takes his son, he goes on a 3-day journey, and he goes to the top of a mountain where another lamb will be offered one day for the sins of the whole world. It was the same mountain. And he leaves young men behind to tend to the beasts and the animals that they rode on, and he tells them, stay here, and I and the lad will go to worship, and then we'll come back to you. And yet he knows that he's got to sacrifice him, right? He and Isaac, they head up the hill, and Isaac is carrying the wood, and Abraham is carrying the fire. And Isaac, at some point, begins to put two and two together, and he says, Papa, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? We've been up here before. There ain't nothing up here but rocks. Maybe some brush or brambles or whatever. And Abraham prophesies, and he says, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb. Now, that's a twofold prophecy, because the Lord is going to provide himself a lamb on the mountaintop, but thousands of years later, the Lord is going to provide himself a lamb on that very same mountain. So they get to the top, to the place where the Lord directed Abraham to go to, and Abraham binds Isaac and places him on an altar and raises the knife to slay Isaac. Now, I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach on Isaac's reaction. You know, did he just put it, okay, Papa? Or was it, you know, how did that go? I'm just glad I wasn't called to do that. and try to explain it to him. So Abraham binds Isaac, places him on an altar. Well, clearly Isaac knows what's going on now. And he raises the knife to slay Isaac. But the Lord cries out, and he tells Abraham, lay not thy hand on the lad, for I have seen that you would not withhold your only son from me. And then Abraham lifts his eyes up into the heavens, and then he looks out on the top of the hill, and he spots a ram that's caught in a thicket, and he grabs that ram and offers it up instead. Abraham he'd looked all over that mountaintop previously, friends, when he gathered the stones for an altar. And there was no ram there. It was probably not unlike Brother Branham going on that caribou hunt and saying, you know, there'll be a silver-tip grizzly, and it was at a place where silver-tip grizzlies aren't going to hang out because there's nothing to eat up there. But there was a silver-tip grizzly. The Lord provided a ram. Perhaps Abraham, when he spoke it, when he prophesied and said, the Lord shall provide himself a sacrifice, maybe that was the spoken word that caused it to come to pass. Nevertheless, it was the Lord that provided the lamb. It was the Lord that gave him that revelation. I hope somebody's listening tonight. He's facing a trial, he's facing a challenge, and he's given revelation. So Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, God provides, or he is my provider. It was Abraham's greatest trial. But when Abraham stood fast and passed the test, the Lord spoke to him again. Genesis 22, verse 16, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, friends, he's prophesying of the seed that's as the stars of heaven. That's the spiritual sons. And he's prophesying as the sand that's upon the seashore. That's the natural seed. Both of those have to be coming to pass. We've certainly seen the natural, right? He is the father of many nations. What about the spiritual? So we'll thank Abraham when we get there to the other side, because he had to believe this for you and I. And And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Friends, every son and every daughter of God will be tested and will be tried before we possess our full inheritance. So be careful about all these trials and things that you're going through that you're begging to bypass. Be careful, because we must go through these things, and they will prove you, because faith that isn't tried isn't faith. Faith will produce something. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. So faith isn't faith unless it's tested and proven. And it's up to him to prove his word. But it's up to us to stand on this rock, to stand on the revealed truth. The truth has been revealed to you. Now stand. To stand on the divine promises of the word and face every obstacle at every gate of our enemy. And friends, when we've stood the test, we possess the gate of our enemy. And the church says,
amen.
Our sister Rebecca, who's a shadow type of the bride of Jesus Christ, she was tested, she was tried, she made her choice, and her family gathered around her and said, after she made her choice, after her faith was tested, her family said in Genesis 24:60, thou art our sister, be thou mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Wow. So we see the very same promise that was given to Abraham. Now we see it's given to Rebekah. We find a prophet by the name of Daniel. He's in captivity in Babylon. And a decree is made that any man that petitions God within the next 30 days, except for the king, shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, the king wouldn't have spoken so hastily if he'd have known that Daniel was going to do this. He regretted that Daniel did this, but Daniel did it nevertheless. Daniel is found praying the very same day that the decree went forth, and he's thrown in a den filled with lions, and it looks hopeless. But all of the sudden, the Lord appears and places him between the lions and Daniel, or places himself between the lions and Daniel. And they won't attack Daniel because they're afraid of that pillar of fire. So Daniel possesses the gates of his enemies. We know the story of the three Hebrew children in Babylon that are thrown into a fiery furnace for refusing to bow to the image made of Daniel. That'd be a type of you refusing to bow to those that want us to just play a tape and worship Brother Branham. Make Brother Branham Jesus Christ along with the fivefold ministry and everything else. You know, he fulfilled it all. I just ran across a quote, an outstanding quote, I thought, here a day or two ago, where Brother Branham said, I'm not going to be here. We've had the meetings and all that. I'm not going to be here. He says, but Jesus Christ is still here.
Yeah.
Right? And he says, your pastor has every right, has just as much right to pray for you as I do. He says, we're just trying to get things stimulated and raise faith up, but your pastor has every right to do that. He didn't say your tape has every right to do that. We believe in listening to our messenger, obviously. Obviously we are. That's why we know these things. So these three Hebrew children, the fire is so hot that the ones that toss them into the fire, they're burned up. But the fourth one is seen moving around among the flames and delivers them from the flames of the furnace. They possess the gates of their enemies after the trip to the fiery furnace. And Peter said, don't think these fiery trials, don't think that they're strange. But once you pass through them, he says, you'll see that they bring forth the peaceable fruit. So the children of Israel, they come to a place called Kadesh Barnea, and 10 spies are sent out to spy out the land. They come back and they report that there are gates over in that land, in that promised land. And they call these gates giants. The reason why we're calling them gates is that they're saying these giants are preventing them from taking the promised land that was promised to them. So these giants represent gates, don't they? So Caleb and Joshua, they steal the hearts of the people because these 10 spies got the other people all worked up and fearful. So they steal the hearts of the people and they declare, "We are more than able to possess the gates of the land, and we should go forth at once and take it." What are you afraid of? Right. We're more than able. We're not just able. We're more than able. Yes. Friends, that's the attitude that we need to have here tonight. Yes. And later, when they come to the land of the Moabites, they face another gate. And then they face another gate at the Jordan River. So, friends, there's no gate here tonight that your enemy can put before you that the great and mighty conqueror has not already opened. But you need to have the revelation when you get to that gate. That's your key. You need to have the revelation of what's in heaven, that word revealed to you, now being done on the earth. So friends, we will overcome the gates of hell through divinely revealed word of our day that we hold before us. Let me say that again. We will overcome the gates of hell through divinely revealed word of our day that we hold before us. Now who wants to come to church? Oh, I'm so sad and depressed and everything's going wrong. I know, because you're not going to church. And you're facing gates and you're not going through them. Right? You're not getting the victory. Why? Because you don't have the word. And you need to have that word. It needs to be revealed to you. You say, "Well, I can get that on my own. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word." I still say I can get that on my own. Then why does the scripture say, how can we believe except one be sent? How can we hear except somebody tell us? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, go ahead and squirm, get mad. I'm trying to help you. You can go ahead and kick and scream and whatever, but I'm still going to try and help you. That's a gate that the enemy's put before you. And you need to go through that gate. Get over your past or whatever it is. Whatever it is, it's time to overcome that. Hallelujah. So, don't worry about gates that you haven't faced yet. Or are not facing yet. We spend too much time, especially we get to looking at what gates other people are facing, right? Well, that's not the gate you're facing, right? Don't worry about it. When you get there, God will equip you. Amen. I believe that tonight. Amen. I believe that every gate that we face, God's going to equip us. Amen. But He's going to equip us His way, not our way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we need to focus on the gates that we find before us in our path today. And we need to go through those gates. That's what you ought to be praying for. That's what you ought to be looking for. That's what you ought to come to church. And many of you do this. You may not realize this is what you're doing, but many of you do. Well, I needed to hear something from the Lord. I was thinking this, meditating on that, and I came, and guess what got preached? Well, what will I do when the time for the body change comes and I'm facing death? Well, what have you been doing all the way up to that point? It's just one more gate. You're not at that gate yet, though. So don't feel like you have to go through it when you aren't there yet. Jesus didn't agonize over the cross until he came to the cross. And then he agonized so greatly that he sweat drops of blood. Now, why didn't he do that the week before? Because he wasn't facing it. This is demonstrated for us, friends. So hold on to the revealed word of promise. And when you get there, that word will see you through. Keep it before you. That's the key, friends. This is what makes us different than every other Christian religion, than every other organization. This is what makes us different. What makes us different is the word is being revealed to you, because he said that's how he was going to build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. This isn't, if we're not careful, I mean, how many people have denied the message and walked away, and they had just as much information as you? They heard all the quotes, but now they're spending all their time doubting all of those things. What it shows me is that they never did believe it. They never proved it. They went along for the ride. Intellectually, okay, I accept that. You can accept a lot of things intellectually. But when it's revealed to you, it's a whole different thing. And you don't have to struggle with revelation. He wants to reveal it to you. But you've got to give him the opportunity. So Brother Branham is speaking about the children of Israel in the first Exodus and the message possessing the enemy's gates. He says, was a little year, a few years later, when the trials come and the church got all shook up, and as is so easy for a congregation of people to do when something just don't seem to happen the way that it's supposed to be, God makes it that way. God brings tension into the church. Let me say that again. God brings tension. There's tension in the church. So that's why I don't come to church. God did it. And there's a way to get. You will be stronger if you just overcome what God has put before you to overcome. Well, if this was a church, you know, it'd just be all lovey-dovey, big love boat. And I don't know what you're smoking, but must be pretty good, because that's quite a delusion. God makes it that way. God brings tension into the church. For every son that cometh to God must be tried and proven and tested. He lets sickness strike you. He lets, if he didn't let it, it couldn't strike you. He's in charge. He lets sickness strike you. He lets diseases come on you to test you and to prove you, to show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. He equips you with the word, the revelation of the word, by his stripes I'm healed. It drops down. You hold on to it. You stand. And it's proven in your life. He permits disasters. Satan's blamed for so much. Now, Satan's the one that actually does these things, but God permits it. He permits disasters. He permits the friends to turn against you. He permits all of those things and turns the devil loose to tempt you. And he'll do all but take your life. He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you. He can do almost anything, and it's God's will for him to do it. We are taught that it is more precious than gold to us. I just quoted that from Peter, these fiery trials. Family will turn against you, and yet you have a promise concerning your family. So you don't get all shook up, because you're still holding on to that promise. Even though it looks like it's impossible, because now they're turning against you. When they turn against you, it looks beyond impossible for the promise that you have concerning them to come to pass. Organized religion will put you out. And in this generation, organized religion can be found in our own ranks. And they'll claim to, some will claim to take you out from under the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when you refuse to bow to their creeds. Or you refuse to put the pastor above the pastor of the church above Christ. When you put the pastor in the role of your husband. But after you stand and say, all I know is the one that paid the price for my sin told me that he died for me. And that's good enough for me. If he told me that, you can say I'm out from under the blood all you want, but he told me different. And that's been revealed to me. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then the peace that passes all understanding will lift you up into heavenly places, and his angels will minister to you after the trial. But you're going to be tested first to prove that you will walk with him. And you will call things that aren't as though they are. And we will not consider what our senses declare when they disagree with the word. But we will keep that revealed word before us. And we will possess every gate that we are facing along the way. Every gate. Every trial. And the church says, again, paragraph 42. Brother Branham said, the seed of Abraham doesn't look to any of the natural things. They look to what the Lord said. That's the promise. What if Abraham would have looked to the natural at a woman 100 years old or 90 she was, and he was 100, and had lived with her ever since she was a little girl, and he was a little boy and no seed? He didn't look at those things. He said he counted those things as if they were not, for he only looked to what God said, I will bless you, Abraham, and I will give you a seed by Sarah. And he believed it. He says, you don't look to the opposition. We look at what God said. God said it, and that settles it. Friends, a lot of times when we're going through something, especially if you aren't attending church, you're not focused, you don't have a prayer life, you're not reading your Bible, I've heard over and over, why is this happening to me? Well, it because God's allowing it. And he didn't do that so you could feel sorry for yourself. He doesn't feel sorry for you. He's going to equip you, or he has already equipped you, and you need to stand on the word. But a lot of times when we're going through phases and we say, I don't understand, well, that's because you're not walking with him. That's because you're not, come on, friends. I'm trying to help. This isn't confrontational. Here's the solution. The whole church is built upon this. We got the keys. We got to use them. So the Gentile church of the living God has been placed upon the rock of revelation of the word in every age. And the gates of hell have not prevailed against her and will not prevail against her. Some take this truth and they come so close to it, but then they show that it's not true revelation that they're standing on. They show it when they apply it with the wrong spirit, or they use it to lock you behind the gates of hell instead of the truth setting you free. Friends, what kind of a spirit? Let me just ask this, okay? What kind of a spirit would say, we're taking you out from under the blood of Jesus Christ, but we're not going to talk to you first, and we're not going to try and restore you. We're not going to try and help you. Right. I'll tell you what spirit. The devil. Right. Christ would never do. Why did he come and die for you before you were even born? Right. And now he wants to. He loves me. He loves me not. You're saved. You're lost. You're saved. You're lost. Whom the Son has set free is. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the Christ of the Bible stand up. They're preaching another Jesus. I don't want that Jesus. Thank God it's not my Jesus. Not the one that Paul preached. You don't believe in church discipline? Yeah, but the whole purpose of church discipline is to restore. And you do everything that you can. It's a last resort to say, you know what? You can't fellowship with us any longer if you're going to continue down that path. We've given you every opportunity. We came to you one, we came to you two, we gave you a space to repent, we said we'll pray with you, we'll do this, we'll do that, right? There are people that are not here today that see the very few times that we've done it here, and well, that's why I don't go to Love Divine anymore. Well, that's why you don't go anywhere. Or to some denominational church, because you don't have a clue of what's been done. Every effort has been made to restore. And the door is still open. If someone who's living against the word were to come in here and say, you know what, I've repented. God bless you. But if you're not going to, we got to protect the flock. And that's how Paul said you'll be restored. Turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their soul might be saved. Brother Bram said that you'll either get right or God will take you off the scene if you're a child of God. If you aren't, well, that's another story, but you're not going to pollute the rest of the body. Amen. So some will take this revealed truth and apply it with the wrong spirit, or misapply it, or code it, or misquote it, and use it to bind you once again, to put another spirit of fear upon you instead of setting you free. They'll make four walls out of four gates, and those gates become the gates of hell. Oh, don't. The book of Revelation said they become the cage of every unclean and filthy bird. Those gates are designed to imprison rather than to set free. Rule books and laws are emphasized over the grace of God that's afforded to you by the shedding of the blood. We need to get people to Christ. He'll write that rule book in your heart. You won't need this handbook, right? The handbook will be in you. One thing that we can rest assured of here tonight, friends, the Word of God will find every true seed of God, and the Word of God will set them free from any gates of hell that the enemy puts before them. When the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. I'm sick of this lukewarm, watered-down version of the message. I'm sick of people living defeated lives. They remind me of the church I came out of, the Baptist church. Nice people. Lovely people a lot of times. A lot of times sanctified even. Right? Foolish virgin is sanctified. Right? But where is the power of the revealed word? Where's the life? That's not the God that I worship. And it does damage. Because who wants to be attracted to that? Who's going to be attracted? It's just another Christian church with another name on it. The true church is power. Again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, church age book. Brother Bram says, have you ever noticed how Satan hates two books of the Bible more than any others? Through liberal theologians and, I love how he says this, pseudoscientists. Boy, they sure came out of the woodwork during COVID, didn't they? All these pseudoscientists, people that aren't scientists, that are quoting things as fact. Through liberal theologians and pseudoscientists, he is always attacking the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. In both of these books, we find Satan's origin, his awful ways, and his destruction. That's why he attacks them. He hates to be exposed. And in those books, he is exposed for exactly what he is. Jesus said about Satan, he has no part in me, and I have no part in him. The devil would like to prove that different, but he cannot. So he does all he can to destroy confidence in the word. But when the church disbelieves Satan and believes the Spirit's revelation of the word, the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. Period. Always. So it's time for us to shut our ears to the devil, friends. And it's time for us to listen to only what the Word says about us. Again, he says, now remember this. Christ in the true church is the continuation of the book of Acts. So he's making the very same point I just made in the true church. In the true church. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Not the true church. It exposes Satan, revealing his works. That's why, friends, that's why I don't believe the true church will ever be popular. Oh, it'll be popular to the true church, but not to the world. You won't have masses of people coming to join because they'll bring an Antichrist spirit with them. And somebody's going to leave, either the pastor or them. Making it lukewarm, formal, powerless, it exposes Satan, revealing his works. So if it's in the church, it'll expose Satan. The attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word. Right down to the time that he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows. Sometimes I wonder if he's got more revelation than we give him credit for. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. We're on the road tonight, Brother Eli. That church is here. Not just here, it's here. She will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, now how are you going to get that revelation? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. The word is what discerns. And by God's spirit, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He is powerless. But we need to know that. If we don't know who we are, he's not powerless before us. Because we're going to let him run us ragged. But when we realize, you know what? You're defeated. You know what? You have to bow to this. You have to bow to that. You have to give way to the name of the Lord Jesus. Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation. Listen to this. But we love it. With true revelation in our lives, that's not head knowledge, true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. I believe this. So let me just be clear about this tonight, friends. Revelation is not doctrine. Revelation is not words to debate and argue over. Revelation is the unveiling of the person of the Word to you personally. It's Him speaking to you from His Word and making it real. And nobody can take that from you. And nobody can give it to you. So all of these, you know, proud teachers who lord over you, you know, Paul said, did the word come to you only? Who are you? Nobody can give it to you. Nobody can take it away from you. It's preached. I'm not giving you revelation. I haven't revealed anything to you guys. If you got revelation, it's Him that revealed it to you. You're hearing it. He said, I will teach you whatever you've heard. But you got to hear it. Again, possessing the gates of the enemy. Brother Branham said, in the church of the living God this morning lays the power to heal all sickness. I'm glad he said all. A double hockey sticks.
all sickness. In the church of the living God lays power to overcome all temptation. That God reveal that to me, right? In the possession of the church of the living God this morning lays the power to change sin and throw it away and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In the church of Jesus Christ, whatsoever you desire, ask in my name, and it shall be given to you. A little while, and the world, not seed, the unregenerated seed, will see me no more. You'll see me, for I'll be with you and even in you to the end of the world. What? The royal seed. The works that I do shall you do also. I'll verify myself that I'm with you. For these signs shall follow them that believe. He shall possess the seed of his enemy. He shall possess. His seed shall possess the gate of the enemy, of his enemy. No matter what the gate is. Let me say that again. No matter what the gate is. Amen. Let me say that again. No matter what the gate is. Amen. Let me say that again. No matter what the gate is. Amen. Okay, now you say it.
No matter what the gate is.
Say it again.
Say it again.
Now let's all say it together. No matter what the gate is. Okay, that was seven times, so you'll... Now let it become a habit. Not a hamburger habit, but... Aren't those good? I got you thinking about burgers again. Brother Baxter, is he here tonight? Oh, okay. I still crack up. Ezra. Brother Baxter's taking Ezra, and I don't know if it was any of his siblings or not, but Ezra was definitely there. He's riding home with Brother Baxter, and Brother Baxter decides to stop at a fast food place. And Ezra says, after preaching like that, I could sure use a burger. He's like 4 years old, you know. Well, if you don't ask, you don't get it, right? I never would ask, but I'm glad somebody does. We need to be that way with the Word. No matter what the gate is, if it's sickness, temptations, sin, whatever gate it is, it's conquered. Sometimes we need to get an attitude. Realize, you know what, that gate's conquered, but I seem to be standing at that gate. I want to go through it. I'm sick and tired of standing at this gate. Have a good old-fashioned prayer meeting, and Lord, you've defeated this gate. I want to go through it. And the seed of Abraham possess it. Again, and today, the church of the living God has the privilege of standing and seeing the conquering. You want to see a different picture, friends? You can have a picture where everything's gloom and doom. Everything is, you know, I'm persecuted. Nobody appreciates me. This happened to me. That happened to me. You can look at that, or you can look at this. Today, the Church of the Living God has the privilege of standing and seeing the conquering, resurrected Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, standing present, living in his church, doing the same thing he did again. Then we possess the gate of every enemy. So instead of looking at the gloom and doom, look for the way through the gate and realize that you are privileged to be here in this hour, to overcome like no other age. Nothing can stand before you. Friends, the greatest thing that people fear the most is death. And we're coming up to that gate, and we're going to say, death, get out of the way. If that gate's open, every other gate below it is open. If you've got an enemy this morning, then my brother, if you're the seed of Abraham, after hearing this, there's not enough devils in hell that can keep that gate before you. It'll open. I don't care what it is. You walk up there as a promised seed and say, I claim this for mine. Okay, let's say it. I claim this for mine. This is mine. Because God swore that he'd raise up Jesus, and through Jesus, I'd conquer it. And I come in the name of that conqueror, Jesus Christ. Step back. I'm passing through. Amen. He shall possess the gate of the enemy. Then stand up there with your shoulders back and your shield a-shining, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. The enemy will recognize it. Friends, no matter what gate you find before you tonight, and we all have gates before us, you need to recognize that that gate has not conquered you. We look at it that way sometimes, though. Oh, I'm defeated. No, you just got to go through that gate. You are barred, but you need to find the key to go through that gate. And the key is always the Word. It's the Word being revealed to you. That key in your hand will open that gate, and you'll go through it. Sometimes when we do that, sometimes we think, man, why did I wait so long? Because it's like any other gate. Just got to have the right key. And the key is revelation. The gate has already been opened. What we need to do is to ask the Lord to show us the key, the revealed truth of the Word that will grant us victory over that gate. I don't care what it is. There's a key for it. And the church says, if it's sickness, there's a key. If it's financial trouble, there's a key. If it's family problems, there's a key. If it's spiritual needs, there's a key. There's no gate that's standing before you tonight, friends, that the Word has not already conquered. So why don't you stand to your feet tonight and speak the revealed word concerning your gate that's before you tonight. We're not interested in knowing what your gate is, and I don't mean that in a bad sort of way. We're not saying we don't care. We do care. But you're the one that's facing that gate. And it would be real good if you would be the one that says, gate, I'm going to walk right through you. It's that simple, friends. What we need to do is take common hyssop faith and use it to hold the revealed word before our gate. You might be in the darkest hour before that gate. We've been there. If we haven't, we will be there. But at those times, friends, when you've done all that you know to do, that's when you stand and behold the captain of the host who's mighty to deliver. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you standing at that gate. He will set you free. He will help you in your time of need. He is your way maker. He is your way. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, as we bow our heads just for a few moments, Lord, we don't want to leave this building tonight without taking the opportunity that's been given to us, Lord, to stick some keys into some gates and walk through them. And Lord, if we can't identify the key, if we don't know how to get through a certain gate, you do. You're just waiting for us to wait on you and to say, Father, show me the key. Reveal it to me. Reveal your word to me, Lord, that'll set me free, that'll show me the way, which is the word. The word will be the way. Show me the way through that gate. Reveal the portion of the word that I have need of. I fully recognize and fully admit I can't go through that. I'm not supposed to be able to go through it on my own. But Lord, if you'll reveal the word to me, the word will go through there.
Because the Word is the way, and you've made a way. You blasted a hole through every one of those gates. So if I go the same way you went, if I follow in those bloody footprints, if I apply the very same Word, and you are the Word, there's no gate that hindered you. There's no gate that you didn't bust through. You've made the way where there was no way. Now, Lord, if I go through with that very same Word, I'll pass through that very same gate, and the gates of hell will not prevail against me. Father, I pray that you move upon each and every heart. Father, if we don't have a need tonight that comes to mind, maybe we know somebody that does. And Father, maybe we could pray an intercessory prayer for a brother or a sister that ask you to reveal your Word. They don't need us to kick them down. They don't need us to point out that they're stuck at a gate. What they need is help. And the help for them is the same help for us. What they need is for you to reveal your Word, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the revealed Word. And that revealed Word will take them through that gate. Father, I pray that you'd move upon each and every heart, whether listening in, whether we'll listen in, whether present here in the building tonight. I don't believe, Lord, that you just have us pick a topic and go a certain direction unless there's a need. And Father, you provide for every need. And we're so thankful for it tonight, Lord. So we ask tonight, Lord, show us what we need to go through whatever gate is hindering our, that we're standing before, that we haven't found a way to go through yet. Give us the key, we pray. That's your desire. Show us, reveal it to us, Lord. That's how we can say, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because you revealed it to us in heaven. And now we can say, let it be on the earth. I want to go through this gate. And you're the way maker. Father, help us not to worry about gates that we're not facing. Help us not to worry about someplace down the road. Take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient is the evil of the day to today. May we look to our need today. May we look to where we're standing today. And I thank you that you make it so simple. Because, Lord, if we've got a gate that we're standing before, we know that. We don't need to come into a prayer line and have somebody tell us that we're standing at a gate. We know that. You've made it so simple. And maybe we can't, maybe we're very well aware that we can't find the key to go through that gate. Or maybe the devil's convinced us that we can't pass through it, that he's a liar. Or maybe we're trying to do it ourselves. And maybe we think that we're supposed to try to do it ourselves. But that's why it's not working. If we could do it, we wouldn't need you. We wouldn't need you to be the way. And we wouldn't need you to be a way maker. We need to get to the place, Lord, in our lives that we're looking for your revealed Word every step of the way. That we're looking for you to, because your Word is your will. That we're looking for your Word for whatever we're facing in our lives, whatever circumstance, whatever the need is, to where it becomes a habit, to where it becomes unconscious, that it's just, that's what we do. So we walk with you and you reveal yourself to us. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that want to lift your hand up to him tonight and say, Lord, I have a need. I've got a gate that I'm facing and I don't need to speak it out. It's not important. Certainly nobody else needs to know, you know. But I have a gate. I want to go through this gate. And I believe that you have the key and that you're giving us the key. I pray that you'd reveal to me what I need to put into the door to go through that. Reveal whatever portion of the Word that hasn't been revealed to me yet. It's maybe something that I believe, something that I've accepted in my mind, but now, Lord, I need you to quicken it to me. I need to, because you promised that there's no gate that I wouldn't be able to pass through. And it's because of the power of your word. It's not because of me, it's because of you. So, Lord, I just want to lift my hand tonight, and I want to make that known to you with an uplifted hand. And I believe, Lord, that you're going to provide the key that I have need of. And I believe, Lord, that I'm going to have the victory. And I believe, Lord, that I'm going to grow. And then I'll face another gate, no doubt. But it's a progressive walk as we're getting closer and closer to that body change. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Father, you see the hands that are lifted up in the building. Bless each and every hand, Lord. Bless every heart that's behind the lifting of that hand. Father, no doubt there's some that are listening in that have needs here tonight. They're saying, pass me not, oh gentle Savior. Won't you grant it to them tonight, Lord? Father, what a privilege it is, as our messenger told us, what a privilege it is to be living in a day when we can see the very same Jesus Christ, the very same Word, doing in our day what was done 2,000 years ago, but on a grander scale. Not greater works, but more, because it's a many-membered body that the Word is having preeminence in. What a privilege. Father, it's not the us that's going to do the crying here at the end. It's going to be the devil that's doing the crying, because we're going up and he's going down. We're possessing the gates of our enemy. We're possessing what you've already purchased for us. And our enemy is having to relinquish. He's having to move out of the way at every gate. He's already defeated. We're not defeating him. He's already defeated. But we're, the scales are being lifted off of our eyes, and we're recognizing who we are, what we are, and we're being equipped with your word to face our enemy at every corner. I pray that you move upon each and every heart. I pray, Lord, that each one would be encouraged this morning or this evening. I pray when we go out of this building, we go out with a hope. We go out with a peace. We go out with a blessed assurance that, Lord, you have everything in control and you are the way. And if you're with us and we're going and we're walking with you and you with us, what's going to keep you back? What's going to prevent you from taking us to our destination? You are the way. I pray that you'd bless each and every one now, Lord. We love you. We thank you. And we give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Blessed be it, Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sing it. More than enough for me, Jesus, you're all.